Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these glorious days and for all the wonderful things that you're doing in our midst and regarding the church building. We just praise you for that, Father. We just thank you for the continuous signs that are manifesting in our midst. We just praise you for that. And we just thank you for all of the years that you've been faithful to work in us and that you continue to do that. But we just praise you, Father. We know that we're on the verge of something excellent and indeed in something excellent. So we just ask, Lord, that you just take this tonight and just take it where you would have it go and just continue leading us into the fullness of everything you have for us in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the title of the message tonight is called The Root of Diligence. Now, that can be either R-O-U-T-E or R-O-O-T. Either way, it works. So I'm just going to talk about that. I was out on the weekend walking, and I just had the words come to me, root of diligence. And the Holy Spirit stopped me, and he said, what does that spell? I'm always big for taking the first letters in each thing, each word in a sentence, so it's easier to remember. And he said, and I said, rod. And then he immediately began to speak to me about the need for his people, the people of God, to be diligent so that we might walk in the fullness of the authority, which is what the rod represents in this final hour. And we're not just talking about the authority of those in the fivefold ministry. We're talking about the authority of Christ in every last member of the body of Christ, because we are going to be called upon to use that authority and control every situation that runs across our path, control the devil and remove him. And that'll take on anything you can imagine. So we're going to talk a bit then about diligence and the importance of that. And again, just go where the Holy Spirit leads us. The dictionary defined diligence as showing perseverance and proper application in whatever is undertaken. Well, for us, what's being undertaken is to carry out the will of God, to carry out the fullness of his purpose for our life and ministry. Another part of that was persistent application to one's work or duty. And it gives the idea of being steady or steadfast or constant. Now, all these words, when you speak these words I just spoke, they refer to the kingdom or living in the kingdom. Constant, steady, perseverance, proper application, or what we might say, I'm going to go into this a bit, corresponding action in any given moment to what God has revealed to us. And again, it's hard to get away from those five kingdom things, faith, love, obedience, revelation, and anointing. That's the cycle of kingdom living. And those things all work together for us. And as we abide in Christ, then those things are manifesting continually through us. And so that's very important. So we need to be diligent in faith. And we need to be diligent in obedience. Diligent in loving one another. Diligent in seeking the wisdom of God and the revelation of God's will at every turn. And diligent in coming to that place where we are conscious of the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us. And it's an extremely important thing because where we're going in this last hour is a glorious place. And it is an awesome place. I mean, when you think about it, the bottom line is that the glorious church will accomplish the fullness of God's purpose, not only in this hour, but the fullness of every purpose that he intended right from the beginning as he began to plant the seeds of his word concerning the glorious church and the fullness of his plan for not only the church but for Israel and for the nations. So it's an extremely great thing that's been placed upon us in this last hour. We need to be diligent in all things. And really, basically, when you think about it, we need to make the decision to be diligent. And again, for us, it's the undertaking of God's will. We have to make that decision, because when you make that decision, then what happens is you begin to draw near and seek after godly desire. rather than self-desire. You know, you begin to seek the kingdom and not the world and its ways. And of course, we know there's a great separation happening now between those who have remained in fellowship, and that's heart fellowship with the world, and those who are diligently seeking first the kingdom. I firmly believe that from this point forth, and it's even begun, that as we just diligently seek the will of God and diligently seek first the kingdom, then we are just going to be in the right place at the right time and manifesting the glory of God in all that we do and say, and that will cause a number of things to happen out there, including the judgment of God in many cases. But our job is to be faithful and obedient, and then from that spontaneous manifestation of God's life, many things will happen. We don't need to be getting our eyes fixed on the things in the world or even the things in the church. We need to be a people who are drawing near to Him in this hour and seeking a revelation of His will in any given moment. And that's an abiding thing. That's a very important word in this hour. In other words, we're making our home in Christ. We're making our home in the presence of God. I just have to stop here and offer some personal thanks for the messages that have come forth. I've often said, you know, even since the time I've come here, I've seen a spiritual progression. But it leaves one almost speechless to see the spiritual perfection that's being manifested in the messages, because they are the things that are going to lead people into the fullness of God, their inheritance in Christ. I said the fullness. And that, of course, is what we're called to. And then as those who are what one might call forerunners gain these revelations, then they're in a position to help lead others into the fullness of their inheritance in Christ. And I've said this before, we're going to need to be walking in that in this hour. And that's not a punishment. That's a wonderful thing. But we will need to be in that place. And then then joy will be the characteristic of our warfare rather than that striving in one's own effort to try and keep the devil at bay. You know, all these things are coming into play now. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over or guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." And in this scripture, we see the essence of God's plan for the church. You know, we are to guard our heart with all diligence. We're to put the word first. We're to have a heart that's filled with the abundance of the word, because as we are diligent to be partakers of the divine nature and we are diligent to do all those things that God requires of us, then torrents of living water, springs of life are going to flow through us. And that of course, is what is going to turn this world upside down. It's the power of God. Many people become or get into fear or become concerned about the work of the church. But when the Spirit of God has an unlimited flow through the pure vessels of God, then again, that's going to cause many manifestations which one cannot even imagine or comprehend. And I'm talking about even from the position of a sanctified mind. I mean, we've had some wonderful things and seen some wonderful things. But God, the very nature of God, means He will do exceeding abundantly beyond all we could ask or think, even from the position of revelation. So we must remain in revelation just to remain in the flow of what God is doing, and also to be able to understand and be thankful and comprehend what God is doing in this hour. And that, again, comes... we need to be in a place of being acclimatized to the presence of God. I mean, this thing just gets simpler the deeper you go into it, but you also gain a deeper understanding of God's absoluteness, and there's no gray area for one to slip into. There's no room for us to hold part back and thus maintain self-desire in any way, or fear. Really, that's what that is. That's that other cycle, fear and self-desire. And again, I'll touch on a few words that I didn't realize as I was going through the different words that the Father had spoken to me over the years, how many times He mentioned diligence. And then I kind of counted the cost and said, well, yeah, it's been a lot of years. So, I think we can basically say that when we're walking in the flesh, we're negligent towards the things of God. When we're walking in the Spirit, then we desire to learn diligence. And it's not a week or a lesson you're going to learn in a week or a day. It's a lifetime lesson. So one of the words he had was, the main and essential element of guarding one's heart with all diligence is quality fellowship with me. To the degree that one fully guards their heart with all diligence, it is to that degree that they are able to measure my word fully. Now that's one thing we're going to have to do in this last hour. As we seek God with all our heart, then he is going to be able to reveal his word in his absoluteness to us. And there, from that place, we can apply it exactly the way it needs to be applied. The spirit man remaining in ascendancy over the soul and body is simply the result of consistent diligence in the things of God. That's really what it comes down to. And believe me, that's very, very important because, you know, we've all been in places where we've struggled with things and we've really felt ourselves below trying to reach up and get a revelation. And then suddenly, if we're diligent and if we persevere, then suddenly, in the fullness of time, whatever that may be, however much time, we're on top of it and understanding the very thing that we were struggling and striving to get in the past. And really that indicates that the spirit man has come into a place of ascendancy. There's no more being pulled down by the soul and the body, the flesh, but rather we're in that place where we can hear the Spirit of God speaking to our spirit, and then the soul falls into line and the body falls into line. It seems like a very simple thing, but I'll tell you, it takes diligence to come to a place where your spirit man is in dominance over your soul and body, and a continued diligence. Again, we can't really think of the word diligence without thinking of those two words, constant and steady, or steadfast, towards the will of God. You know, we were never meant to fall in or fall out and come in and fall out and come in. That's just the flesh. So we need to be a people who are ascending the mount, a people who are desirous of having both feet firmly planted in the kingdom of God. We're going to see some things before we leave here. I've really come to the point now where I praise God for the future, you know, in the ages to come. But I'm telling you, I almost had to stop in the sense that I felt I was limiting him in what he wanted to get across to me concerning the time of the glorious church in the earth, our remaining time before the catching away. And that is going to affect spirit, soul, and body in a big way. Not only our spirit, soul, and body, but the entire being of others that cross our path. Proverbs 12:27 says, a lazy man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. Now I think that as I was meditating on this after the Holy Spirit spoke that to me on the weekend, I really began to see in a clearer light that it truly is a precious possession. I mean, for years, you know, many of the people and the people here have diligently held fast the vision regardless of persecution. And, of course, the enemy is trying to stop any true work of God. I believe Bill said Sunday that he really doesn't have to bother with the people that he's controlling because he's, first of all, controlling them. But obviously, if they keep on the path they're on, he will steal, kill, and destroy from them in a major way and keep them ultimately out of the fullness of God's plan. But this precious possession that we have in diligence is that as we've held fast over the years, we've come to appreciate the will of God, the work of God. But you know something? The people who have been diligent to seek God, they've been under persecution. And, you know, the devil's tried everything to stop them. And as I was thinking about this in the weekend, I realized that there's a lot of people out there in the church at large that still have that attitude that where they see somebody being attacked in some way and they think, well, they must have sinned, they must have done something wrong because they themselves aren't under attack and so on and so forth. But I'll tell you this, there is a spiritual tsunami coming. That is a given fact. And the people who have not been diligent to put the word of God first have left themselves wide open to attack. Now, we know that the judgment of God begins at the household of God. And God is perfect. He knows exactly what order needs to be accomplished. And so the people who have either tasted various revelations concerning the kingdom, concerning the plan of God, will be the first in line for judgment, but who have forsaken them, of course, who have stopped being diligent. I mean, there had to be some diligence at some point because they gained a revelation of these things. And this stuff doesn't just fall on you. I can tell you, it doesn't. But now God is coming to reward the diligent, and he's coming to deal with the negligence, because any degree of negligence towards the things of God causes the individual or individuals to misrepresent God in whatever way, shape, or form. And that is no longer acceptable to God. Not that it ever has been in that sense, but in the fullness of time and in the perfection of his justice, his divine justice, he has remained in patience. But now we're going to see some things. So we need to be those who are diligent. And because all the years of dealing and all the times of holding fast the vision at all costs to ourselves will be rewarded. And not only that, the vision that we've held fast to will come to pass in ways far beyond our comprehension. Verse 28 of that same chapter in Proverbs chapter 12. This is an awesome scripture that is stuck in the back of Proverbs, which people need to have a revelation of. It says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. Now, you take that scripture and you begin to apply it in the fullness of God's plan. You begin to apply it to the glorious church. And you begin to understand that God is creating a vessel, a remnant in this earth that will be pure, and thus they will be unlimited in being vessels of the force of righteousness. And I would love at some point to do a teaching on the force of righteousness, because it is a force. It is a wonderful force. And what it's saying here is, in the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. And we are going to wreak havoc on the spirit of death. That's one of the things that God wants to deal with in this last hour. And as this third day anointing comes forth in its fullness, we are going to cut a pathway to the spirit of death, and many captives are going to be set free. And the things that have remained in bondage to death and darkness are going to be exposed in this last hour. And we are going to be those vessels of righteousness. So that's a good scripture to meditate on. In its pathway there is no death, or no death can stand. Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, or the diligence you've shown towards his name, or in loving his name, in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish or negligent, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's a wonderful scripture. So we need to show that same diligence and not be negligent. In 2 Peter 1, verse 10, it says, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love... Whoops, wrong reference. Oh, here we go. Proverbs 12. The hand of the diligent will rule. Now, this goes back to the whole aspect of what the Holy Spirit spoke to me in the weekend, and drawing together the idea of diligence in all things pertaining to life and godliness, and the authority that is going to come forth in the earth in this last hour. 24 says, the hand of the diligent will rule. Luke 10:19 says that all authorities be given to us to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And that goes in hand. This all authority goes in hand with the all diligence. You can't separate the two. I mean, I'm not going to go into this now, but we've all seen false authorities. We've seen people in various walks of life even, who have come into positions of authority, but who are still controlled by fear. And when one is in authority and controlled by fear, not faith and love, then they are a dominating force. Whereas if one is a true authority and is controlled by the love of God and faith in God, then they will be vessels and represent God perfectly, and they will rule in justice, and they will rule, of course, in love in all things. And we're going to see that. We're going to see the difference. It'll be like night and day. And even that, forget about the world. I mean, we can see examples in the church. And of course, many people have taken a position of authority by their own strength, through the mind of the flesh and through their own efforts. And that will come down in this last hour. And the very principle that, you know, he who was last shall be first and he who was first shall be last. It's a heart thing. And we need to have a proper heart. And as we do, we will rule. And we will, I mean, at the very least, we're going to rule over the devil and over the things that he's doing. But we'll also have the wisdom and the love to discern and to judge between God's people. See, that's not a dirty word, judge. A lot of people think it is. But just by his very nature, the holiness of God judges all things in its path. It just does. And the truth of God and so on and so forth, the very character of God. And so we will be vessels of judgment in this last hour. And there will be many that say that we are exalting ourselves over them, but that will not be the case. And they will be led to a point of absolute decision, and they can be come into a deep and thorough or full repentance, or they will run deeper into rebellion and darkness. But things will not remain the same in this last hour. And just to mention this, you know, one of the things that kind of irks the flesh is change. You know, people don't like change. But you see, when people are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, when they're moving on with God, and I've heard it said before here from this pulpit that, you know, God is continually moving. And so, you know, we come into a problem and we become stagnant spiritually. And when we come into that place of abiding in the flow of his presence, of his wisdom, his movement, then change is not a bad thing, because we're always moving from faith to faith and glory to glory, and the end of that is the fullness of all that we were created to accomplish in Christ. So, but if people maintain a low view or a view of the world, then they want to remain stationary. They want to gain or maintain their security in themselves, and that's not going to work in this last hour, because truly, whatever can be shaken will be shaken. And the only place of our refuge is in Christ, our rock. That's just the way it is. You know, these things are, it's almost like a review as I'm speaking these things. But, you know, and on the other hand, you can see everything coming together very, very clearly in the Spirit. And it's an amazing thing. See, we're just preparing the way for God to come in his unlimited presence and power. That, you know, he's going to take over and do that. We're going to be willing and able vessels in service to him, but it's an amazing thing that's going to happen, and we're going to enjoy our time remaining in this earth, regardless of what happens. You know, it's funny. You know, God has spoken clearly, and Jesus himself is in his earthly ministry. He said, you know, that they're not going to love you because the world didn't love me, and they're in the world. They're not going to love you, and so on. And many, I'm believing for their deliverance, but many are still held captive to a fear of persecution, a fear of trial and affliction, which we've talked about. And it really is something that needs to be dealt with in people, and they need to lay themselves before God, because, you know, and I'm like everybody else. When I read that scripture in Philippians, when Paul was encouraging the body to rejoice, and of course he'd gone through all these things, it didn't make sense to the natural mind. How can you rejoice when all these things are happening to you? But the fact is, when you come to know God and you come to learn the keys of the kingdom, and one of the keys of the kingdom is in Peter, and it's if we set ourselves to walk in love, then we're going to suffer for righteousness' sake. Because when you set yourself to walk in the love of God at all costs to yourself, anybody in your path that has self-desire or self-agenda is going to be offended and is going to contend with you in order to prove their position and justify their position. And we need to be steadfast in that love, because they can be set free if we do that. But there will be persecution. And if people maintain a fear of these things, then what happens is they avoid the Spirit of God. They and all of a sudden their heart becomes hard. They can't hear the Spirit of God, and they have a safe environment, or what appears like a safe environment. But in reality, it's a religious environment, and an environment that's still controlled by death and darkness. And that's not a good thing, because the reality of the situation is, the Bible says this, if we willingly suffer for righteousness' sake, and again, to make it clear, that means to resist all that which we've been redeemed from continually, the Spirit of glory will rest upon us. That's it. Now, that's the whole aim of the glorious church, to be a people in whom the Spirit of God dwells and where the Spirit of glory is able to manifest in a given moment. That's what the whole thing is. So if we're running from the very thing that is the chief catalyst to receiving the glory of God, then we become an inglorious church, and we've seen examples of that in the past. So, you know, these are the days that as we meditate in the Word, God is going to reveal to us each individually exactly what we need to know. He's done that all along. But as we step forth in faith upon the Word, we are going to see manifestations rapidly in our lives, and we're going to see the truth, literally see the truth, and that truth will consume us, and we'll be able to walk in that with great, not only with great diligence, but with great joy in this hour. Another thing I've heard lately has been that, you know, God wants us to enjoy our walk. You know, I came to a point a while back, I was not enjoying my walk. I mean, I was doing what I knew to do and reaching out to do what I knew God wanted me to do that I hadn't done yet. But I this is unacceptable. I mean, what's the point of a Christian being in this earth and not enjoying what God has created us to? Something's wrong, and it's not God. So I stopped, you know, and I said, you know, Father, I said, I want to enjoy this. You know, it's, and it really, around that time was when Shelley and Brady began to preach on reproach. What a precious revelation that is. I'll tell you, before this is over, literally thousands and thousands are going to be set free from that message. But by the power of that message, because just to share briefly, I was in a place where, well, we all know we're called to walk in love. And I was at a place where I'm dealing with people, and I knew that. I mean, you know, boy, walk in love, walk in love. And I just, you know, walking in love, you know, and I just kept going down, 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 like I had an anchor on my neck. And I didn't know what the problem was. I really didn't, because, you know, I mean, you want to walk in love. You want to represent God. If you're not walking in love, you're not representing God. And I don't want to tell you who you're representing if you're not walking in love. So anyway, you know, between Brady preaching, and then I believe it was one Tuesday night, Shelley was preaching, and the light came on. I finally realized that I was actually taking reproach, believing what people were saying concerning me. And I, even though I knew it wasn't true, but I had taken that. Boy, I'll tell you, that was a turnaround. And I mean, because, you know, when you're out swimming and you've got an anchor around your neck, you may swim for a while, but you're not going to swim for ever. So anyway, that was, and then of course it's been a series of revelations since then. The revelation of tarrying, the revelation of painting the picture of flowing, you know, flowing in divine blessing, and the revelation of just simply walking in faith. And it's been an amazing time. And of course, and the revelation of liberty, and the revelation of joy fair, and all these things. This is where God wants us to be. And so the joy returned, and the enjoying of the walk returned. I mean, it's not like I was down out or anything, but I realized something was wrong. And I'll tell you, condemnation is just simply reproach we've taken on ourselves. So we need to smarten up. And, you know, if in any instance we're finding ourselves not enjoying what we're doing, then we need to go before God. We need to tarry, just like Brady was preaching. And that is so effective. I mean, I don't care what's going on. At the nearest possible opportunity, you go in and you just get still. Don't say anything. I mean, heavens, if you knew what you were doing, you wouldn't be in the mess you were in. So you're not going to get anything from yourself. So you just go in and just be quiet. You'll be, I mean, it may take a few minutes, but after a few minutes, the voice of God will speak to you. He's been waiting, because busyness is deadly in this last hour. The whole world is busy. But unfortunately, they're busy on their way to hell. The fact is, we need to do these quiet times. And you've heard me preach on the inner chamber many times, and that's important. But this gives you a perfect example. The quote of Smith Wigglesworth, he said, "I seldom pray for more than 5 minutes." He said, "But I seldom go more than 5 minutes without praying." Now that's what God wants us to do. That's what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. He said, or Thessalonians, he said, new word. He said, pray without ceasing. And really God's just saying, communicate with me without ceasing. That's it. And we can do that. Again, I've said this before, but this is the opportunity, this time we have remaining in the earth, to love God with all these resistance things, distractions, hindrances, and still love God. We're not going to have a hard time loving him in heaven and through the millennial kingdom and so on. So this is the time to really, be diligent in seeking God. And it works. I'm telling you, I'm a living testimony. I've got more testimony to share in the future. But the fact is, this thing is very, very effective. All right. Proverbs 21 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. But everyone who is hasty or presumptuous surely comes to poverty." Now, I like that. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. And, if we guard our heart with all diligence, and we acknowledge God in all our ways, he's going to direct our paths, and they're going to lead to advantage. We should be people who have an advantage. We are people who have an advantage. We're going to see that in this last hour. We're going to see the open heaven, the communication with God, the blessings of God. Not only the blessings of God, but the wisdom and the ability to use those blessings to gain maximum fruit for the kingdom and to build the church. Something that's been on my heart so heavily now, it always has, I guess, but lately it's really been heavy. You realize everything that we do is going to be done by revelation and needs to be done by revelation of God's will. And, people have gotten a revelation of God's will. That's like the first good step. But then they just, now I got it, God. I'm going to go with it. And they've messed things up, but no more. We're going to walk with pinpoint accuracy. We're going to walk in revelation. And it's not going to be, seeking God every 5 seconds. It's an abiding thing, an abiding flow of God's wisdom coming up and light. And we'll know what to do. We all know what it's like to hear the voice of the world loud and clear. Well, how much more then would God have made a provision for us to hear his voice loud and clear? We need to lay aside all the different things that hinder us, but we need to be diligent. Diligent. He says they'll surely lead to advantage. Yes, just maintain diligence and you're going to see that come to pass. Ephesians 4, Paul wrote, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, I think an amazing thing that's also happening in this hour is, as these revelations of such things as joy fair are coming forth, is that, we are being consumed by the presence of God. It's his desire to consume us and to fellowship with us and to be with us in all things. And of course, when he's with us in all things, we're with him in all things. Because I'll tell you, if you're not diligent to seek the will of God, you're not going to spend the time with him. But if you're diligent to seek the will of God, he's going to come and reveal himself to you, and you're going to be in one accord with his heart. And when you're in one accord with the Father's heart, you're going to have peace, and you're going to have joy. And it's a supernatural peace and joy. It's not just a refuge from the storm. It is that. But it's a supernatural peace and joy. And I don't care where you are now, or where you're called to go, you're going to have that peace and joy. And, another revelation that came forth, it's hard to get away from this because I'll tell you, I don't have words to describe how there's been an acceleration. I mean, it's always been accurate, but there's an acceleration in the word coming forth. And how can something be more accurate than perfectly accurate? But when you keep in light that... in mind the time or the lateness of the hour, it's just more impacting. And that, maybe I'll come up with a word at some point, but I don't have one right now. I'm just blessed by it and thankful for it. So there is a supernatural joy and peace. And maybe All these revelations are important, but maybe the one that really puts it all together or summarizes it is that we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We need to keep our eyes fixed on the object of our affection, not the things, not the circumstances, not even the promises of God, as was preached, but really get up above that. And that little twist in our thinking will take you to a place so far beyond your and above your circumstances that it'll just be a matter of knowing. And I'll tell you, when you make that decision, you know what is going to kick in? The gift of faith. You know, again, I have more of the testimony to share, and I don't want to do it all tonight, but when a certain thing happened, and I made that adjustment, and I've had the gift of faith kick in a number of times over the years for a bit of a time, but this has now been solid 3 weeks. And believe me, and I believe you said this, Bill, when the gift of faith is operating, you don't have any problems. You don't have any problems. The devil's got problems. So that's just a little tidbit. But when you are diligent to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, you are going to experience the fullness of all that he has for you. And that's his desire. He's a loving father. You know, a lot of times in a natural sense, you know, parents, they want to bless their children, but they can't because their children are out doing this or that or their own thing mostly. And that's a hard thing on a parent when you can't do that. But our Father in heaven wants to bless us in these days, and it's a wonderful thing. There is a place to walk in this earth above the attacks of the enemy. And we are going to be a people who rain down the power of God upon him, not standing toe-to-toe with him, but from above. And anybody who knows anything about warfare, it's good to be above your enemy, especially as you went back in time. You know, the people who had the highest place had the greatest advantage. And we have the highest place. 2 Timothy 2, a scripture we're all familiar with, 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. That really says it all right there. Hebrews 4, verse 9, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. Now that's key. I could almost, just as soon as I said that, I can't help but go back to Bill's vision of the bridge. And, you know, God's saying here, therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. We need to be diligent to cross that bridge. Because that's how you cross that bridge. You enter into rest. You don't get all schizophrenic and try to get across that bridge. You're going to get into rest. You're going to cease striving from your own works. And that includes trying to get across the bridge. And then you'll be able to go across the bridge. When Bill had that vision, it's been ever expanding to me. And one of the first things God showed me was, I saw this, remember the old Tarzan movies? And they had these little bridges that went across these giant chasms. And they were wobbly. And I mean, you never know if they're going to make it. And of course, there was always some guy going to try and cut it when the guy was in the middle. But what I saw was, I saw these people. And they showed up at the bridge, and they had these giant, I mean, they had backpacks and luggage and the whole works. Well, you can imagine trying to cross one of those bridges. I mean, there was about enough to hold your weight, and that would be it. And that was just a type and symbol of the fact that, you know, we present ourselves before the Lord and empty ourselves before him in humility. And then, of course, we cease striving from our own works, and then we are able to cross that bridge. We're able to enter into the fullness of that rest. And again, that sets a whole bunch of things in motion. But there's no such thing as self-effort in the kingdom. It doesn't work. And you just can't do that. So, you know, God has been purifying us and refining us so that we can walk into that place. But again, you know, it's funny. You know, you preach these things and you say, okay, well, be diligent to enter into the rest. Well, you know, people say, well, I wonder what that means. But if you're not diligent to enter into the rest, you'll never know. You may even see other people doing it, and you still won't appreciate it. You'll probably get angry or jealous. But the fact is, no, we need to be diligent to enter that rest and do it ourselves, and then we'll experience it. Then we'll have a great testimony, not only to others in the church, but of course to the world. 2 Peter 3, verse 8, starting in verse 8. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. It's a good thing he's not impatient. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. That's one of those scriptures that people conveniently throw away. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's a nice word. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. I need to meditate on that scripture. That jumped out at me. And I thought, I don't think I ever saw that way before. Yeah, we need to be diligent to be found by him in peace. And as we're diligent towards the things of God, we are going to have all these things manifesting in our life. And again, as I said earlier, we're going to need to have these things. And of course, the ultimate goal is to abide in holiness. Deuteronomy 28, key scriptures. I believe almost everybody got those promise Bibles. I'll tell you, if you go to Deuteronomy 28, you meditate on that, you're going to get happy in a hurry. Starting in verse 1, now it shall be if you diligently obey. Now remember, how do you diligently obey? You gain a revelation of God's will in his presence, and then you allow the Holy Spirit to work that through. And now, whether it's immediately or whether it's down the road, A to Z, Holy Spirit empowerment. So we diligently obey the God, and again, diligently, day in, day out, constant, steady in our desire to obey God. That's how we diligently obey God. And then walk, of course, in that corresponding action as revealed by the Holy Spirit. Being careful to do all his commandments, all his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Has he not done that to the church? He has. Those who are obedient are walking in that place of ascension, seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. That's a real thing. That's not some ethereal thought. Many still believe they still have to trudge their way through the world. They can do that, but it's going to be a very, very bad place in these days and the days ahead. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. I'm not going to read the next 60-some verses. You meditate on that, because when you're obedient, then the blessings of God overtake you, and the blessings of God encompass every aspect of life and ministry and godliness. Psalm 119, you have ordained, verse 4, you have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. He gave us his word, and he sent Jesus, we know, of course, to die for our sins and so on. So, but the one requirement is that we should keep his word diligently. Verse 95 of the same chapter, or same psalm. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. Under persecution, diligently consider his testimonies. David had that problem. The psalmist here had that problem. There were many who, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, you will be persecuted. The Bible says if you even desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. And I always say to people, well, you might as well go all out, because even if you just desire to do it a bit, the persecution begins, and it does. Unfortunately, many have pulled back because of that, but they will have an opportunity to move forward again in the Lord. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. So what does it mean to diligently seek him? It means that he needs to be the object of our affection. It means that that we just throw our whole being into seeking Him and knowing His will. I mean, when we first began to serve God and God began the process of renewing our mind, we've learned some things since then. You know, and He was faithful in the beginning to be, and it was patient and merciful and so on. But the fact is that the key, we should know that the key is to diligently seek Him, to have His wisdom, not to lean on our own understanding in any situation. I mean, the days of the quick fix are over. You know, and that's just a trap of fear, really. People believe that, if I just do this, that'll take this pressure off, or that'll do that. I'm telling you, when you lean on your own understanding, you're walking towards a trap full speed. And these days are shortened. They really are. And so when people act in faith, you're seeing things come to pass more quickly. When people act in fear, you're seeing the very fear that they have come upon them more quickly. That is the essence of this age. I mean, God is coming on the scene, and the devil is trying to do everything he can. And so things are accelerated. And so when you, again, walk in faith, you're going to see the fruit of that. When you walk in fear, you're going to see the fruit of that. Fortunately, it should cause us to wake up and enter into faith. But we are seeing that. We can walk above the snares of the enemy. We can walk in a place where we're continually never caught being ignorant of his schemes. Continually. That's important, because the further you go on in your spiritual walk, the more subtle he becomes. But it doesn't matter, because if there's ground in us that he can work from, then he can still work his scheme. But if we are diligent to seek the Lord with all our heart, to be diligent in all things concerning God, we will not be ignorant of his schemes. And not only will we not be ignorant of his schemes, we will have the wisdom, the revelation, and the empowerment to turn the tables on him and hurt him badly. And we're going to really see that in this last hour. I could go for a while on that. God's given me some things about that. He's got some plans for the devil. And this is before his eternal destiny is reached. He's going to do some major harm to him where we leave this earth. Major harm. Isaiah 26:9 says, "At night my soul longs for you. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you diligently. For when the earth experiences your judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness." Boy. You know, it's funny. I kept getting Isaiah 30 last night, so I better read this. And it's quite an interesting chapter. As one verse which really sticks out, it's quite common, and it says, in the one translation, it says, "In quietness and trust, in quietness and trust is my strength." And, you know, going back to the bit of the testimony I shared, I mean, I just made the switch where I knew that strength was fading because I allowing reproach and so forth and not having the joy. But once I regained that, this tearing, this lying and this quietness before God and being still, whatever that may mean to each individual, strength came and just it rendered the devil's attacks totally harmless and useless. And again, instead of, you know, battling off the devil's attacks, we should be, when he does attack, saying, "Okay, God, how can we hurt him to the greatest degree? What is it I would, what would you have me do and say?" Now that's the attitude we should have. I'm telling you, when you begin to walk in that, you're going to be free from his attacks, because he's a coward. And as I've said before, when we walk in faith and obedience, when we speak the word of God, then he is harmed. You know, we talk about the word of God being a living and active sword. It is. And the first thing it goes for is the devil. So we need to realize that we inflict spiritual pain on him every time we obey God and every time we speak the word of God. And when you do that consistently, you will be free of a lot of things in a hurry. Because he cannot maintain that. It's the Holy Spirit, the same one that threw him out of heaven, and that's what's manifesting in his presence. Not to mention the remembrance of Jesus. Boy, oh boy. I've said it before, I'll say, Jesus is Lord. You know, I mean, that's the reality of the situation. Okay, here's a few words, again, some more exhortations. dealing with diligence. Words from the Father. When you are conscious of walking in my perfect will. Now that's okay. You're in a place of, you know, you're really right with God, and you're just, you know, you're in the center of his will. And I've said before that when you are in that place, the wonderful, one of the wonderful manifestations is you have a deep assurance. And consequently, you need that because there's going to be somebody come along that the devil uses to tell you that wasn't God, or so on and so forth. But when you have that, it doesn't matter. You need to stop worrying about what people think. Because they're just paying attention to the devil, and we know what the devil wants to do to us. You know, we should be concentrating on the fact that, okay, there's ground in them the devil can use. You know, how do I pray for them? You know, instead of getting offended. So, when you're conscious of walking in my perfect will, it is then that you must take the steps to ensure that your heart is continually guarded with all diligence. And I'm telling you, that is the place where you can really see clearly. You know, you could just see everything right in front of you. You know, it's like, okay, here comes the devil, but he's coming down the road with a red flag. You can see him. You know, when you're in a place of, you know, you've got some sin, your conscience is a little tainted and darkened, and the next thing you know, you just, oh, what's going on here? What's going on here? That's a horrible place to be. I mean, we're children of the light. That's not one of the manifestations of being children of the light. You know, to be in confusion and all those things, the different things the devil tries to get us caught in. So when we're in that place and you're in the presence of God and you're just, the love of God is being shed abroad in your heart, and that there's a transaction happening between you and the Father, that's the time where you can see, okay, well, maybe that should be put aside, or you could see it clearly. And when you're diligent to act on that, then you're going to experience all the things that I've talked about so far this evening. It's so important. It's so much easier than to wander around again in confusion. Guarding one's heart with all diligence is a 24-hour-a-day job. Now, that doesn't mean you're conscious of that 24 hours a day. It's not. But I'll tell you one thing. You are ready to be, to act and to do whatever's necessary to guard your heart, whatever that is. Now, again, I'm speaking to individual believers. Whatever God is leading you and so on and so forth, this isn't some doctrine. This is just simply, we need to guard our heart with all diligence so that we can maintain our fellowship with God, so we can have that unceasing communication with him. This is real, these things I'm talking about. Many, many Christians don't realize that these things are possible this side of heaven. But I tell you, not only are they possible, but they are absolutely mandatory for us to fulfill the mandate we've been given as the glorious church. One guards their mouth with all diligence by guarding their heart with all diligence. That's a good one. Yeah, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When we walk in a place of continual diligence, then we're guarding our heart continually. And then the proper words will come out when they're supposed to and if they're supposed to. Continued diligence in my word will bring forth consistency in the faith walk. Again, you see, this diligent relationship, or this diligence in relationship with God, causes us to walk by faith. I mean, we're not sitting around trying to figure out how to walk by faith. I mean, he is our God, is a God of faith. And when excuse me, when we're in fellowship with him, then we're going to be walking in faith. And love and obedience and light and everything else that goes with his character. And representing him perfectly, which to me is the most important thing. I remember when I started out, I had all these bold prayers. Good thing I didn't know what they were how he was going to answer them. No, I'm serious. But I didn't, you know, but God would give you a prayer, you know. And so you'd pray, you know, do the deepest work of the cross in me. And the next thing you know, every fear you've got is confronted the next week. And you know, at first I would stop for a couple of weeks. I wouldn't pray that, you know, until I recovered. But now, of course, I freely pray it because we cannot be a people who maintain fear. We shouldn't be a people who want fear. Fear is not profitable. The flesh is not profitable. So we need to be a people who are free from that. So it will bring forth consistency in the faith walk. Negligence leads to darkness and rebellion. That, by the way, is the opposite of diligence. Diligence leads to light or revelation and perfect obedience. your diligent, light and perfect obedience, revelation, negligence, darkness and rebellion. There's the two sides of the civil war right there. And, you know, negligence, the word neglect comes from that. So when you neglect something, in a spiritual sense, it indicates that it's something that's been revealed to the heart of one, and they've not done it. So they've neglected it. It's not like they didn't know that God requires holiness, or God requires for them to love him with all their heart. So we don't want to have any part in that. To the degree that one of my children truly seeks the necessary light in any given situation, or the wisdom of God, it is to that degree that they will diligently keep their eyes single. See, again, godly desire. When you want the wisdom of God more than you want anything else, even if you need an answer right now and it doesn't come, but it doesn't matter, I've never, in all the years I've walked with God, have I ever been caught short because an answer didn't come. Even if people were demanding an answer, I just waited on God for the wisdom, and every time it was perfect. It's the devil that wants you to act like that. You don't have to do that. God's not requiring it, and you're not obligated to anybody else. To the degree that one walks in diligence, it is to that degree that they love me. That's simple enough. I mean, we want diligence to be our precious possession. If one is not diligently practicing self-denial, then they are diligently practicing self-indulgence or self-desire. And you see, whatever you diligently practice is going to define whether you're seeking after godly desire and walking in godly desire or self-desire. I got a lot of stuff on self-desire, and it's all bad. No, there is nothing good about self-desire. Here's a couple of cycles. The cycle of the world, self-desire, fueled by fear, of course, and pride. Self-desire, negligence through self-indulgence. That's the continual, you know, self-effort and indulging the self to formulate whatever you want to do, leads to lack. And it will be severe lack in this last hour. First and foremost, lack of God. That's not a good thing in this any time, but it's not a good thing for the children of God to be without a father, a loving and protective father in this earth, in this hour. And now, the positive cycle to that is godly desire. So you're fueling through diligence. Godly desire leads to diligence. And again, it's a cycle. And it leads to superabundance. A superabundance, first and foremost, of revelation of God and his character. And a superabundance of all things that are mentioned in Deuteronomy 28 for the first, you know, after those first two verses and until you get to the curse of disobedience. And finally, if one is not diligently seeking first the kingdom, then it is certain that they shall be held captive to a certain degree by a spirit of fear. And a spirit of fear in this last hour, what the devil has planned is those who have maintained fear, he's moving forth spirits of terror and panic against those who have willfully maintained fear. And it will cause them to do outrageous things bordering on insanity, or what we would call insanity. And really, insanity is just, in this case, it's a lack of a revelation of God's will. And there will be a great rampant emotionalism coming forth in this hour, but I'm not going to get into that. That's the negative. We want to be diligent people who are seeking first the kingdom, and then the fullness of God's blessing, God's best in every aspect of life and ministry will come forth wherever we go. Not only will we be representing him perfectly, but they will see him as he is. And that's our job. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the words tonight. And Father, we just ask that you burn those things in our heart, that we might be continually found diligent in all things pertaining to life and godliness. And we just praise you for that, Father. And we just thank you that you are making us and have made us a people who seek to represent you perfectly at all cost to ourselves. In any given moment, we give you the praise and honor and glory in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.